Something strange is going on in schools and has been going on for quite some time. Whatever it is does not arise from the main American traditions. As closely as I can track the thing through the attitudes, practices, and stated goals of the shadowy crew who make a good living skulking around educational laboratories, think tanks, and foundations, we are experiencing an attempt, successful so far, to reimpose the strong state, strong social class attitudes of England and Germany on the United States, the very attitudes we threw off in the American Revolution. And in this counter-revolution, the state churches of England and Germany have been replaced by the secular church of forced government schooling. Advertising, public relations, and the stronger forms of quasi-religious propaganda are so pervasive in our schools, even in, quote, alternative schools, that independent judgment is suffocated in mass-produced secondary experiences and market-tested initiatives. Lifetime Learning Systems, one of the many new corporations formed to dig gold from our conditions of schooling, announced to its corporate clients, quote, "School is the ideal time to influence attitudes, build long-term loyalties, introduce new products, test market, promote sampling and trial usage, and above all, to generate immediate sales," close quote. Arnold Toynbee, the establishment's favorite historian in mid-20th century America, said in his monumental study of history that the original promise of universal education has been destroyed as soon as the school laws were passed, a destruction caused by, quote, "the possibility of turning education to account as a means of amusement for the masses," close quote, and a means of, quote, "profit for the enterprising persons by whom the amusement is purveyed," close quote. This opportunistic conversion quickly followed mass schooling's introduction when fantastic profit potential set powerful forces in motion. The bread of universal education is no sooner cast upon the water than a shoal of sharks arises from the depths and devours the children's bread under the educators' very eyes. In Toynbee's analysis, the dates speak for themselves. The edifice of universal education was, roughly speaking, completed in 1870, and the yellow press was invented 20 years later. As soon, that is, as the first generation of children from the national schools had acquired sufficient purchasing power, by a stroke of irresponsible genius, which had divined that the educational labor of love could be made to yield a royal profit. But vultures attending the inception of forced compulsion schooling attracted more ferocious predators. The commercial institutions that set about at once to prey on forced mass schooling attracted the attention of the rulers of modern national states. If press lords could make millions by providing idle amusement for the half-educated, serious statesmen could draw, not money perhaps, but power from the same source. The modern dictators have deposed the press lords and substituted for crude and debased private entertainment an equally crude and debased system of state propaganda.